Ladies, we are tremendously blessed to be in an institution with connections and strong relationship with Yeshivat Shalavim Bichlal and with Rabbi Amar Bifrat. Many of the teachers here, male and female, call as their Rebbe, Rabbi Amar. When he shares his phone number, he means it. And we have all, over the years, have turned to Rabbi Amar for personal questions. I myself, Rabbi Amar, may or may not remember this, but I remember where I was sitting. The year was approximately 1996, 97. I remember where I was sitting when Rabbi Amar was the first person who suggested to me that I always wanted to make Aliyah. Or I should say, once I came to Yeshivat Shalavim, it really became a part of my life. But I remember it was Rav Yamer who was the very first person to help me realize that maybe I could go into Chinuch and be in Eretz Yisrael. And I credit Rav Yamer for planting that seed and for helping me along the way with that question and many other personal questions. And I am one of thousands, literally, of people who turn to Rav Yamer for personal questions and halachic questions. And it's such a zechut for us to be able to have Rav Yamer and to be a part of our lives halachically, spiritually, and personally. Rav Yamer is one of the most, if not the most, busy person that I know. And today, of all days, is even busier than usual. And yet, he didn't want to cancel this evening, even though he would have been well excused to, because of the questions that you asked and because of the plan that we had made. We received many, many questions. Baruch Hashem, we will not have time for all of them. We're going to have time for five questions, and then Amir Tzah Hashem, there's going to be more opportunities, Bezrat Hashem, to be able to share these and other questions. I'm going to read the question as it was posed to Rav Yamer, and we're going to hear from Rav Yamer what he has to say, if there's any questions. Or
you can ask when I speak. Before I go to the next question, it's very important that every question will be answered very deeply and very clear.
Question number one. Why do you think it is important for us to spend the year in seminary, and what should we be aiming to achieve or to gain from the year?
I remember when I was 5 years old, my father, Alav Shalom, was the president of Bar Ilan University. We were in the States. There was a big dinner for Bar Ilan University. And my father was the guest of honor. And I remember it like today. We went to the hall. I never knew what is a dinner in the States. Big dinner, yes, dinner that institute is doing. Never knew what it is. And they put us in a room for an hour that they made my father to be nicer with making his things and everything. There were cookies there and drinks. And I was sure that this is the dinner. I didn't understand that this is a hall to come to something deeper than that. Suddenly they told us, and all the people in the meantime came, and suddenly told us, let's go in. And everyone raised, and my father went in, and I went in at the child's side. I'm saying that because I feel that a lot of people are in this world exactly like I felt when I was 5 years in that room, and I thought that this is the center. I think that a lot of people are living this world, A, without any thinking and understanding that this is a corridor to Olam Haba. Therefore, I'm speaking about two halls. And B, they really forget the reason why they're here. Now, we have to understand that a lot of people are being paid millions of dollars, the whole industry, to cause us to forget why we're here. Okay? A lot of people want that you will buy A and B and C, and all the time you will be caught into materialism, and you need this, and you need this, and advice, pirsomet, and colors, and so, in order that we will forget who we are. I think that the main thing that the seminar has to give, and so we will deal how it gives it, is simply to understand what is our purpose in this world. Why Hashem created us, why He created the world, and why He created us, and what do we have to do? The most simple words of the Navi, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. But first is to understand, what is our purpose? Why do I live? Okay, the words in Halach, Lo amut ki echye va'asaper ma'aseya. The only reason why I'm living in this world, Lo amut ki echye, I'm not making suicide. Why? Because I have a purpose. I'm ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm ambassador of Hashem. An ambassador all the time. Okay, the father of my brother-in-law was ambassador of Israel in Switzerland. And I met him when he came back. And he told me, wow, you won't imagine what it is to be ambassador. He says, even when I eat restaurant with my wife, I feel that I'm ambassador because I know that the waiters know that I'm ambassador of Israel. I know I say one word not nice. All the time, 24 hours, I'm thinking that I'm ambassador. We are ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch. He sent us in this world to be ambassadors. Ambassador is doing differently than people that are not ambassadors. He's living life differently. You have to represent something and you have to spread something and you have an aim in life. I will say a hard sentence, and if you disagree with me, you might, and no problem. I think that I'm really saying a very hard sentence now, but a sentence that I believe. I think that the reason why billions of dollars are being put into bilui,
recreation.
Sorry?
Recreation.
Leisure, entertainment. Okay. The reason why you put billions of dollars into entertainment, because people are escaping from themselves and they need something all the time that will help them to escape. Because they really don't have an answer to the question why I'm here. It's causing depression and they have to escape from themselves. So I'm seeing that and that, and I'm going this trip and that trip all the time to escape. You are here in order that you won't escape from yourself. You are here in order that you have an answer to the question, what is your goal in life? And how I can take Torah and life and live them as a harmony. I feel that a lot of girls don't want to be enough religious because they feel that Torah and religion are contradicting and we don't want to drop life away, and we are right. But if we know how to make them together, then we will need this, because religion is giving meaning for life. You are here to have meaning of life. I can say about myself, I came to be in Yeshivat Shalabim 1,000 times more happy than when I was in the high school. And I was in a very good high school, and I got good marks. But in the high school, I didn't have a meaningful life. I didn't know what is my purpose. I wasn't focused. I came to yeshiva. I suddenly got tools. Why I'm living? What is my purpose? How to be ambassador? What is my focus in life? So you are here that this word will be the hall and not the corridor. Or corridor to Olam Abba, but being hall means I know why I'm here, I have a purpose, I know what I'm doing. How that happens? How learning Rashi and learning Chumash give things about life. Two ways that are very different, and you need these two ways together, but two ways. Number one, I said it to the Shana Bet, so I apologize that I'm repeating that. The Kuzari said that when we learn Torah, we have a medicine. He compares learning Torah to a medicine. I would compare it or to a belt that I won't be bad, or to uniform. But why to a medicine? The understanding, girls, is that when you learn Torah, your balance of spirituality and materialism inside yourself, inside your body, of guf v'nefesh, come to be different. When we are born, Hashem put in each one of us chelek elokam mimad, a small neshama. When we come to be big, when we learn Torah, that neshama is spreading and come to be dominantic. And then you feel more kesha to Hashem. And you have different eyeglasses. I had 3 weeks ago in yeshiva, for the boys, I had the Shabbos, the whole Shabbos we discussed, spare time. What to do in spare time, how to have fun, and so on. And I brought someone, him and his wife, she's in a TV in Israel, both religious. He's writing a lot in newspapers. And in Lel Shabbat, we took not only him, we took 5 people, 2 Rabbanim, 1 choir guy, 1 boy. And we say this story about life. People that have Chozer B'Tshuva and people that have very... And then we asked him to speak about his life. And he said something that from the day that he said it, I think about it the whole time. He said that he was in high school, didn't want to learn 1 minute. And they threw him in the middle of high school because he didn't learn. Then he went to 5 yeshivot, and they threw him from 1 yeshiva to another because he didn't learn. Then he went to the army for 3 years. And then he came to be an excellent writer, and he writes in a lot of newspapers. And now, when he's 40 years old, he forced himself to learn for 2.5 hours every day, Daf Yomi, even though he's very busy. What he never did in life before. And he said to the boys, I'll explain to you what happened to me. Why in 40 I changed my way and I decided to learn 2.5 hours a day. He says, because I'm a writer in newspapers and I have to analyze what happens. And I came to the understanding that if I don't have Torah, I have wrong eyeglasses. And I write wrong things. I won't analyze the word correctly. So I decided that I must learn and be connected to learning in order that I will write things in the newspaper. He said, if you don't have Torah, you can't read the newspaper rightly. And you can't write because you don't understand the word. You don't understand what happens. You don't understand what happens in the word. So you are here to understand the word correctly. You are here to have kesher with Hashem. You are here to understand who you are, what is your goal, and why we are put in this world, and to be ambassador of Hashem. So it happens in 2 ways. One is learning Torah because it makes your neshama bigger, and then you get a more right way to look at things, more spiritual. And secondly, the sichot, the discussions, the kesher with the staff, with the rabbanim, with Rav Yamin, with other rabbanim, with other rabbaniot, to really have a good kesher that you can discuss life. Life is something that has to be very discussed. What is attitude to money? Someone is depressed, so go to a psychologist or learn Torah. How Torah and happiness are connected. There are a lot of different questions that have to be dealt in order that you will understand what is the word, why Hashem created, what is to be ambassador, and what does it mean? Question that you want to ask me about this question. No, girls, let's go. I don't care the whole evening to be in this question because it's very important, but please ask me questions. Yeah.
So then,
on you now.
So If we're here to be an ambassador to Hashem, and Shana, when we're in seminary, I think it's a lot easier to understand that, to aim to be that, because we're completely surrounded by Limudei Kodesh and everything related to God. But how do we take that once we leave this world and into the outside world?
I will say two things. You're asking an excellent question. I think that when you leave seminar, and I'm saying that because I spoke with a lot of people that left seminar and left yeshivot, I think the comparison won't be to what happens here in this room, because this room is such a bubble and such different. I think the comparison will be to the time that you're in Israel outside Shalom Yavavum. Three Shabbatot, vacation of Hanukkah, Pesach, summer, and so on. And you will compare it to that. You won't compare it to here. Here has to cause you that when you go to a free Shabbos, your Shabbos would be different than if you wouldn't be in Shalavim for a woman in Israel. You should feel spirituality on Shabbos. You should be sure that even if you're a guest, you can cause the table to be around, not that you're giving now a shear, but you can ask people questions and you can cause an environment that will be a spiritual environment on Shabbos. But in order to prepare yourself for life, be sure that the outside of Shalabim for women in Israel this year is similar to the inside Shalabim for women. Be sure that the room is similar to the Beit Midrash. Be sure that you don't live in contradiction with yourself in this year. What is so special about Yosef? Hu Yosef shaya etzel Abba shelo, hu Yosef shaya b'Mitzrayim. He wasn't two different personalities. It was the same one, the same tzaddik in Mitzrayim that was such a znut place. Check that you have one personality in Israel, no matter where you are, and you don't act in Beit Midrash one way and outside Beit Midrash in another way. And if you do, try to correct it. That would be the biggest preparation for outside seminar. Not what happened now. Another year. And this year, what happened when you're outside Shalabim for women? Do you feel there that you are ambassador when you go for Shabbat? I will never forget it. When I taught Americans, Motzei Shabbat, I got a phone from a woman in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I didn't know her. She said, I want to tell you that this and this was in my house and they were my students. I said, oh, I want to thank you very much. Thank you very much. From where do you know them? Very nice that you invited them and so on. She said, look, I have small kids. And I told them before Shabbat that we are going to have that Shabbat, the most spiritual Shabbat in the year. Because Bnei Yeshivot are coming to us. And they are going to say Divrei Torah. And they are going to cause all of us to feel spirituality on Shabbos. The guys came. All what they were interested in was the food. They even didn't take to the kitchen and back. And she said, I don't feel convenient to talk to you, but you have to do something. It can't be. They didn't do that. They were not ambassadors. She didn't say it in this word, but this is the meaning. So the best way to prepare yourself is that outside Shalabim for women and inside Shalabim for women will be exactly the same. And you are the same personality and not different personalities. Because if now you are affected by society, if you're outside yeshiva, Shalabim for women, 100% you'll be affected when you'll be in the States. There are other things too, but for now, it's enough in this question. Are there more questions about what I speak?
You talked about
talked about being in seminaries, about growing your Yirat Shemayim and Avodat Hashem. How do you assess that growth? How do you know if you're growing or
how you are?
Yeah.
Again?
How do you assess your spiritual growth and like know that you're heading in the right direction or you're gaining things?
Does Billy tell us that? Ambassador that will speak against the country will be fired. Right? Ambassador that will live in contradiction with the country will be fired. If we are ambassador, it means that we have to live in harmony, not living in contradiction with ourselves. Like an ambassador won't speak against the country because then he's living in contradiction. One day he says he's for the country and one day he's against the country. Can't be. If he's an ambassador of America, he has to have 100% loyalty to America. The way how to check ourselves how much we are ambassador is the question if we live, we feel that we're living with harmony or we're living with contradiction. Okay? That's level number one. When you will be, you build yourself and you start to have a family and so on, I think that the next question has to be how much people you impact. How much you kids get that love of Torah. You can't imagine how today there are so many kids that they don't have that love of Torah. The ambassador, his job is to affect others, to impact on others. Not only to live for himself, to be a natzig, but he has to convince others. So I think the first stage is not to live in contradiction. The second stage is to feel that you are not living with that you succeed impacting people. You are meaningful to others. You're spreading Shem Hashem Ba'olam. I always see around my eyes Avraham Avinu. Kore b'Shem Hashem. He's having a house, and all what he does in the house is big dinners and big food in order that people want to come in, and he speaks with them about Judaism, because this is his motto for life, to cause people to love Hashem. This is what we have to do as ambassador. When I finished my 5 years of learning in yeshiva, and my plan as the son of the president of Bar Ilan was very clear to learn in university, and I had free learning, and I'm not against, even if I didn't do it, I'm not against going to university, to be very clear. And I had a big debate with myself because my plan was to be psychologist, and I didn't know if to be psychologist or to be a rav. I sat down and I said, Michael, you have to spread Shem Hashem Ba'olam. Where do you think you'll do it better? Because this is ambassador, that's your job. Now, if you think that psychologists should be better spreading Shem Hashem Ba'olam, do it. If you think that being a rabbi, will you spread more Shem Hashem Ba'olam, do it. But that's the only criterion that you have to decide between these two things. Again, there are more criterions what to decide to work or to learn. But you don't take, even if you want to be an ambassador, don't think something that is against your nature and you don't love and that won't make you happy. But I'm speaking now about these two things that already all the other criterions, these two things work together. Ambassador, that's the question that you have to ask. Whom do I, how many people I'm impacting and how do I do it better? So check yourself, A, that you don't have contradiction in life. You are living your life really with that motto 24 hours a day. And I want to explain. I don't mean that when you drink water, you have to say, oh, I'm drinking now water because I'm ambassador. No, you're letting you drink because you're thirsty. But the question is the big question, not the small question. Not what I'm drinking water. The question is, I'm drinking water to live. The question is, what do you live? What is your purpose of life? That's the question that has to be asked. And that's what it means to be ambassador. Ambassador have a purpose. And he has to write every month, he has to write a report, how much he succeeded, how much he failed. You have to do the same thing. So first stage, don't live contradiction. Second stage, be kore b'shem Hashem and check how many people you succeed impacting with that, causing them to love Hashem. I think that the whole world loves Hashem, is looking for love. And the main thing that you have to get here in the year is the Torah will be something that makes you happy and give you energy. And this is really, you feel the Torah is something that gives you meaning in life and makes you happy. Okay. All of us when we drive have to stand in a red light, and it's very important. If you won't stand in a red light, we will kill people. But no one goes to sleep at night and says to himself, wow, what meant my day was that I was driving and 25 times I stopped in red light. All of us have to brush teeth, but no one says, oh, what made them alive is that brushing teeth. Because that's the thing that you have to do. The question is if Torah will be like stopping in a red light or brushing teeth, something that you have to do, or is it really will be something that gives you energy, gives you happiness in life? That's the question. Ambassador that is not happy by being ambassador will never be a good ambassador. I would fire. You have to be happy in your duty. In being ambassador, in being, it has to bring energy to all of us. More questions? Yeah.
You say about being an ambassador for the Jewish people and to go out and be an Avraham Avinu, but does the Rav think that it's more important at this point in Jewish history to go out to Chutz La'aretz and spread like the word of Hashem, or to like stay in Israel and in the Jewish community and strengthen Jews as a Jewish community themselves, as in be an ambassador or like be mechazek within ourselves?
Or being?
Being mechazek like that, like us as a community. Which is more important right now?
You feel, if I only want to understand your question better, you feel that you can be a better ambassador in the States, and the question is if to make Aliyah to continue to be in the States?
No.
I have that question a lot. I have guys that call me, they learned in yeshiva, and they know that here they can't be mechanchim, not like Rav Yamin that succeeded so much, but there were a lot of Americans that they feel that they can't be here in it, and they ask me what is more important? To be chinuch guy in the States and to spread Shem Hashem, or to be computer man in Israel? But that's not your question. So explain to me your question.
Similar idea, but I don't think that you need to be in Chutz La'aretz, but the idea that you're going to people who are not Jewish and living in the diaspora out of Israel, and you're being a shining example.
I don't mean that the ambassador has to live with goyim. I think you can be ambassador with your kids. You can be ambassador in the community that you are. I don't mean at all that ambassador means that you have to leave the country and go to another place. I think that our community is the people that will affect us and make the community higher and more spiritual. I think that our kids need us as ambassador. Ambassador is not a title. We influence if we want or we don't want. Every parent influences their kid. And the question is, when you influence them, will you be ambassador? So you have to be ambassador to your kids. You have to be ambassador in your community. So I'm not speaking about influencing them going. That's not the subject. I'm speaking that even you don't do it artificially. You simply do it because you spread Torah, because you like Torah, and Torah makes you happy. Okay? I have a lot of questions. I have guys that come to me that they're one in the family, even want to marry a goy. And they ask me if we should tell him something, not tell him something, what we should do. And my answer was, you don't give him any mussar, you don't tell him anything. You only show by your life how Torah gives you so much happiness. And if you will feel that, he's looking for happiness. If you will feel that, he will want it himself. There is a big yeshiva in Bnei Brak, the Ponovich yeshiva. And in terms of hashkafa, I think different than them. They are more in the Haredi world. Very extreme. But they have the very big Rosh Yeshiva in the name of the Rav Shach. And when he passed away, I felt that I want my students to know about him and about how much he was Gadol B'Torah. Even if I disagree to his way, how he feels about Zionism and so on. And I called his son-in-law, that was a big Rav too, and I told him, please come to my house and tell stories about the Rav Shach. But don't speak about Zionism, because in that we don't think the same. He told one story that caused me a lot to think. He said there was someone learning in Ponovich, then he came to be a Rav in Brazil. And there was a family that the girl decided to marry someone that is not religious. And their parents were broken. They went to the Rav in Brazil, and he spoke with the girl for 10 times. And the girl said, I don't feel any connection to Judaism. I feel more connection to this boy. I don't care. I marry. Came after 10 times that he sat with her and told the parents, I can't do anything. The parent says, we can't. You must do something. Tell us what to do. He says, look, when I learned in Ponovich, the Rav Shach was a very, very special man. Buy a ticket, ask him what to do, and come back to Brazil. They flew to be one day in Israel. That was the last year of the Rav Shach in his life, and he was already connected to oxygen. And most of the day he slept. They were allowed to be near him the whole day. And they said all the times, our daughter wants to marry Goy, what should we do, what should we do? And he was in almost coma. They left back to Brazil very, very depressed. They didn't get an answer. And they wasted their money. The Rav went to the airport. He says, he didn't give you any answers or no? He didn't say one word. He said, yes. In the middle, they waked up. He said, dance on Shabbos. And he went back to sleep. That's what I told you what to do. You have to start dancing on Shabbos. You have to show happiness. They were further, they're crazy. But they started to really have spirituality on Shabbos. 2 months later, the girl told the boy that she didn't want to marry him because she didn't want to miss Shabbos. One of the things that we have to work is ourselves, not now speaking about others. We have to be sure that we represent as ambassador, and we really, not something from the outside, we really feel that happiness. We have to work on ourselves. It's avodah pnimit, that we are really happy learning Torah. We are happy to be ambassador. And if you have that, you will affect him automatically. You don't have to work now to affect, because the whole world are looking for happiness. Maybe we go to another question.
Second question. Is it usher to listen to English music?
I think that two parameters to answer this question. The first one is halachic. Are there any halachic problems? And the second one, I'll come in a minute. The halachic problems that can be in listening to English music can be two. One, if it was composed in a church and it's a song for church, there is a question according to halacha. Most of the posting disagree to listen. Therefore, there was one symphony of Bach that there is a problem to hear because he composed it for a church. Secondly, if it's a love song, a song that mainly describes the love that there is between man and woman. That's something that is not allowed according to halacha. Love has to be something very, very special for marriage. You should sing song for love, but only to your husband. And you should do it. And not to your kids. Okay. I think that every parent have to sing every night to his kids. And the words of the song that he has to say to his kids are, thank you. Thank you that you are my kids, because if you won't be my kids, I will have a very boring life. You really make my life interesting and special. And I don't know how many girls heard it from their parents. But I think that you when you be mothers, you must say it every night to your kid. So love song is not allowed according to the halacha, and that's one of the reasons why there is shmirat negiya, because marriage is something not easy. People come from different backgrounds, and we want that there will be special things that are allowed only in the marriage. We want that touch will be only allowed in marriage. We want that songs of love will be only allowed in marriage between a man and a woman. That would make the marriage special. I think that part of the reason why there is such big divorce is because people allow themselves before marriage things that they shouldn't allow. So marriage doesn't come to be enough special. So these are the two halachic questions. Love song is not allowed, and things that were composed for church. Now come criteria number two. And criteria number two says, think what the disaster is. What happened to your neshama? What happened to yourself? It caused you to be a better woman? It caused you to be closer to Hashem, or it caused you to be far? I think that we sometimes check ourselves only according to allowed, not allowed, and we don't enough think what does it does inside. I will give example of a movie and then I'll come back to music. Okay. There is a movie Titanic. Right? Big boat. When I was a father, I didn't want my kids to sit. Even though I don't think that there was any halachic problem. And the reason is because I felt that if they see that movie, they will lose sensitivity of Baltashrit. How can you take a boat, put millions of dollars, and then for a movie you put it down in the water? I disagree that my kids will see any movie that someone is hitting someone else, even if it's a man and a man. Because they will lose sensitivity of hitting. Okay? There is a famous story about Rav Kook, that he went with someone in the garden and they spoke Divrei Torah, and suddenly this man attached a flower, skotef, a flower, and Rav Kook said, I can't speak with Divrei Torah, you are a murderer. You cause now this flower not to be attached anymore. We don't see someone that is taking a flower a murder because we are losing sensitivity. But it is really a murder. So you have to ask yourself, what this thing is doing to me? It adds sensitivity or I'm losing sensitivity? Rav Lichtenstein learned in Harvard English literature, wrote a doctorate on Milton, and he said that that caused him to work Hashem. So for him it was a mitzvah to learn Milton. Other people, Milton won't do anything. Maybe even cause a difference. So I think that you have to ask yourself three questions. Question number one, is it okay or not according to halacha? Question number two, what it does to you? And question number three, I said it before to the girls of Shana Bet, I think that we have to ask ourselves if we would live in ideal world. It would be only shalabim for men and shalabim for women. Okay? And Rav Yamin would be every day making another matchmaker. Will this music exist or not? Well, supposedly that some music yes and some music no. Some music really oppositely. The Levim were having music in Beit HaMikdash. Is that style will exist if there will be only Bnei Torah in the world, or that style won't exist? And according to that, to answer the question, if you can listen to music or not. Any question about my answer? Yeah.
What about musicals or Broadway?
No. I will say like that. I had a boy that I remember mama's day before he left yeshiva. I asked him, what are your plans for the summer? And he told me that he wants to sell popcorn in its stadium of sport. And it came to me that he mamish need the money. I decided that I'm giving him the money and he shouldn't go. And he didn't want to accept it. He said, no, I don't want tzedakah. And I told him, you don't understand. You'll get money, but you ruin yourself because this is not a place where you should be. And you will lose sensitivity. You maybe won't be over any Easter, but being in this place, you're losing sensitivity. The people, how people act, the people, the atmosphere around, you lose sensitivity. I think that you have to ask yourself, if seeing that thing in Broadway and so on, will you gain sensitivity or lose sensitivity? And the question is not only the Hatzagah, the question is the whole thing around. and check what it does to you inside. I think that we are not used to listen to our inside voice. What was the last time that we closed cell phone? We were 2 hours with the nature, alone, not with anyone, and simply listen to our insight. It's critical. This is what we have to do. Any more questions about that?
Just to like clarify, is it okay to connect to a non-Jewish song if it has like, if there is some type of message that is inspiring?
Again?
With a secular non-Jewish song, is it okay if you do connect with it in an inspiring way, if it's not like a love song or whatever? Is there something wrong with it beyond? I'm not being clear.
And you don't want this to go. If I'm not, I didn't understand the question till then. If I didn't answer your question, ask me. I think that almost every man that writes a song, and that I have to emphasize, everyone that writes Hatzagah, everyone that writes a song, they want to transfer part of their philosophy. They want to transfer a message. And a lot of time, we are being affected on that messages, even if we don't feel that in the beginning. Therefore, you have to be sure what the message of the song, of the words of the songs, what does it does to you? Are you, is that message will cause you to be near Hashem or to be far from Hashem? So I'm not saying that every sentence that someone that is not Jewish is writing, you shouldn't see, because every sentence is wrong. No. But I'm saying, be sure what are the messages, in order to be sure how it affects you. Did I answer the question? Maybe we'll go one more question about hurting, and I have to leave because he's waiting.
Okay.
אולי נענה על השאלה הזו. עכשיו, כמעט בחמש דקות, כי אני חייב כל הזה.
How should one go about, or what should one do if they were hurt by someone who they are required to respect? For example, a teacher, an elder, a rabbi, or a parent, etc. How does one learn to forgive a person of that stature? If there is a fear that it can happen again, whether it be to himself or to a totally different person, is one supposed to point out to the respected person what he or she did wrong?
I only will speak about one point because I can't allow it's not fair from the driver to wait. But I would say, I believe that it's very important not to keep things inside and to say whatever you feel to everyone. The main question is, how do you say it, and if you are creating the right environment for communication. You were hurt by someone, you must tell him. Maybe he's not aware that he hurt you. And even if he's aware that he hurt you, maybe he doesn't understand enough how it bothers you. So you must speak. But you have to speak not when it happens, because then you are too emotionally. You have to speak in a very respectful way, in a very true way, and saying emet in a very right way to communicate. I have a lot of cases where a husband is not saying something to his wife because he doesn't want to pogea her. Okay, she went the whole day to buy something, in the end she bought something that he doesn't like. So he doesn't want to say, I don't like it, because he knows that she was spending 10 hours to find it. And it's wrong. It's wrong because it will stay, it will stay, it will stay, and then in the end it will come in the wrong way. So communication is something that is very, very important. And you must say everything. If you only say it in the right way, you don't examine, you really say what you feel, and you are saying it with a tremendous respect. Even to your parents. You are allowed to say, if you feel that they don't understand you, you can say it. And it's important that they will know it. But again, it's not against kibud orim, but it had to be said in a very, very deep way, very respectful way. One of the things that we have to work, and I must finish here, is to build right communication with everyone. And it's something that we have to work on. And we allow ourselves to speak about everything. I have a lot of boys and girls that date, and they ask me, when is the time to think about engagement? And my answer is, if you already spoke with him about your chulshot, about your bad things, and we feel that you have communication, that you can not impress him, but really feel, speak even about your weaknesses, then you can engage. Till that stage, you can't engage. So communication has to be something that we build it. And we build it in a very strong way with everyone. And communication doesn't come if there is no trust. If you don't say emet, you can't make a show. And if there is no love. And love will be created by saying emet. Last thing, I really felt that there are mainly three topics in the question that I got. Topic number one we discussed today, the focus of the seminar and English music and really maybe even how to be our relationship to the word. Topic number two is shiduchim and all the things that are connected to engagement and dating and so on. And topic number three is Zionism, Israel and so on. This is in big. There were a few other questions, but in big these are the three questions. We are going to Bezrat Hashem to have at least two, three more. Like tonight, I really see that I think it's very, very important this evening, so I will come Bezrat Hashem another two, three times. Next time we will speak about engagement, how to be a good woman, and what to look for, and all these things. And then we will speak about Zionism, and then we'll have one more speaking about topics that we didn't fulfill. Have a good night. Erev Tov.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Yammer for sharing his ideas and his thoughts with us.